the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be exalted forever, world without end. Amen. Amen. So it's a very small world we live in. 3 weeks ago, I was worshiping God in Canada. 2 weeks ago, I was worshiping God in America, in New Jersey. And today, I'm worshiping God in Australia. And in another next week, I'll be in Taiwan. And in another 2 weeks, I'll be preaching in Sri Lanka. The world is becoming a very small place. But Jesus said this, that this gospel has to be preached in all the earth before the end comes. So I stand here and I watch India represented, Australia represented, Sri Lanka represented, America represented, Cambodia represented. The world is a very, very small place. Jesus is coming sooner than we think. Sooner than we think. So, please pray for me so that God would give me the grace to speak to you what He has put in my heart, okay? Father, hide me behind the cross of Jesus. Lord, your blood upon me. People mustn't see who I am, Lord. They must see who you are. Would you hide me? Would you speak to your precious people this morning? Would you show them, Lord, your love? And would you show them your expectations of us as your people? Use me as a channel, I pray. In and of myself, I'm nothing. So, Lord, let them see you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please turn with me, and I'm at the age in my life when I need two pairs of glasses, to 1 Peter 2:9. I urge you these last days, as the Lord hastens His coming, I urge you to read God's word. You don't know the lover of your soul until you read the love letter He has written to you, okay? So, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Right? You sang, first song, came out of the shadows into your light. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Right? So, that's one. The other one is, let's go to Genesis. Now, let's go to the book of Beginnings, chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And we'll read from there, okay? Now the Lord said unto Abram, this was before his name was changed, to Abraham, right? Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We talk about called out. If you remember the last time I was here, I alluded to the fact that there are two kingdoms, that there are two lives we live, right? Life terrestrial, life celestial. Life natural, life spiritual. Life unholy, life holy. Life without God, life for God. So there is this contrast. Two different lifestyles. It doesn't matter what your culture is. Two different lifestyles. God's way And the way that is the way of Antichrist, that which is anti-God. So there are two lifestyles we have to choose from. God draws us out of darkness into His marvelous light, which means He takes us out of the natural and hooks us up into the supernatural. He takes us out of unholiness and hooks us into holiness. He takes us out of that which is against Him and puts us in the realm of heavenly places where everything is by Him, for Him. So there is a quantum leap, a jump that takes place from the natural to the supernatural. This is something that lots of people don't understand. Oh, we just prayed a sinner's prayer and we're okay. The day you prayed the sinner's prayer, you got transported into God's kingdom. Your citizenship now is Christian, like Christ, product of Christ, bought by Christ, paid for by Christ. And your lifestyle begins to get conformed to that which God expects. So, I want to talk about being drawn out. What did God tell Abraham? Leave your mommy and daddy. Leave your family. Leave your kindred. And come, go to the place that I will show you. And there I will make of you a great nation. All of God's promises, in Him are yea and amen. And there are conditions attached to them. Right? So, let's talk about the first one. Out of natural family into a spiritual family. Hear me carefully. Abraham, when Abraham left, there was no Skype, there was no email, there was no IDD Telstra, I got a Leica mobile card with which I can call my wife. There was no Leica mobile, there was no mobile phone, there was nothing. When he left, he left. All his cousins, all his aunties, all his uncles, all his relatives, all the guys who were his greater family support, done. The mistake Abraham made was to carry Lot with him. Right? You read Genesis, later on it'll say, until Lot departed, God didn't ratify the covenant with him. Okay? So, God said, leave your family. So, out of darkness into marvelous rights, out of his natural family into a spiritual one. I can relate to this because when the Lord saved me, my father used to send me, I was a little boy, you know, I was in Sri Lanka, running to the shop to buy soda for his alcohol. I came to the age of understanding around 12 or 13 years, where I understood that this was not a good thing for a Christian to do, you know. So I had to look at my dad and say, Dad, I'll go to the shop for anything you want, but not for this one. You can imagine, like, coming from the Sri Lankan culture, how that must have kind of sat with my dad. Like, what? You know, today you guys are all spoiled. You kids are spoiled. You know, you can't touch, you can't punish. My father used to do just that across the face, across the head. It didn't matter where it hit. You guys are all spoiled now. You know, even kids have rights these days, right? We didn't have any rights. We just did what we were told. But when I took that stand, my father understood that something was happening. And he backed off. In 2008, when my father came to America, and he brought his liquor with him. I won't go to the liquor shop. Right? What happened was, I had to tell him, you can't drink this here, because when you drink this here, you misbehave and your language gets bad in front of my children. Do you know what happened to me? He disinherited me from his will. People of God, when you become a Christian, God will call you out of your family. Do you know what it is like when you live as a Hindu and God calls you out of your family? I have a friend of mine in America, his name is Tiron. Tiron used to be a fantastic bass guitarist in India. Indian boy, right? He went to a church and got saved. In India, you have to understand, we have dowry system. Huh? So the husband lives off the wealth of the wife's father. The wife's father gives dowry and the husband lives off that. Tiron comes home and says he's become a Christian. His wife kicked him out. Get out of the house. He had nowhere to go. This is what is costing some people when you say, drawn you out of darkness. We sing, I surrender all. Do you really? Are we willing to surrender our family ties? Are we willing to go with God to the point where our family rejects us? I lost my inheritance. I'm the oldest son. I'm the patriarch of the family. I lost all my rights, all the inheritance that I was supposed to get, the money I was supposed to get. My father said, send it all back. Send it in a check. No problem. Why? Because I have now, I don't live there. I don't live for what I get. I don't live submitting to a family that is not of God. I belong to the family of Christ now. I still honor my father. So last year when my dad was sick, he fell. He's 91 years old, by the way. He fell sick. I came rushing down. And I came for 10 days. Every day went to the hospital. If I hadn't come, if I had delayed by one day, he would have died. And the day before I left, my dad prayed the sinner's prayer with a friend of mine. I'm telling you, you will be called upon to leave your family. Why only Abraham? Why not us? Why only the saints who are suffering in Laos and Cambodia and everywhere? Why not us? God is calling. God is calling. Take you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I don't know what some of you have suffered for from your family for being a Christian. But you will. Very good. It's a good sign. It's a good sign. It's a sign that you are serving God. Right? So, first of all, out of your natural family into a spiritual one. The next one's a little harder. Out of your culture into a spiritual one. You see, a lot of us get saved. But we carry our cultural baggage along with us. So I'm just asking you, right? In the Middle Eastern culture, you can have 7 wives, right? Am I right? So 4 or 7? I thought it was 7, I may be wrong. 4, right. Let's say 4. 4 is a better number, right? Safe number. There's consensus with 4. So when you become Christian also, can you have 4 wives? What did Jesus say? One man for one woman for one man. Because God didn't take 7 ribs and make 7 women. He only took 1, right? So, you have to leave some of your cultural baggage. Ur of the Chaldees in the old days was the center of civilization. It was the capital of Mesopotamia, which today is known as, anybody know? Iraq. Right? It was the center of civilization. And God is telling this guy, leave the center of civilization and go to the place that I will show you. And you know what? The place that God showed him was desert, dry rock, sand, wilderness, mountains, rocks. That's about all you had. God will take you from the secure purity of your culture. Oh, I am Sri Lankan. Right. It doesn't mean much. Oh, I'm Australian. It doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. Because when you give your heart to Jesus, you become a Christian first. And you got to let go some of the cultural baggage you carry. In some cultures, it's quite acceptable to beat your wives. In God's culture, it's not. We are supposed to honor, love, and respect our wives the way Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. In some cultures, it is okay to have a mistress. It's okay. Oh no, not for us. We are supposed to be monogamous till Jesus comes. Or till we die, whichever comes first. In some cultures, it is okay to tell lies. I was in the Sri Lanka Air Force, and I served in the Sri Lanka Air Force during a time when it was not very good for people like me to be in it. I'm a Tamil. When I say I'm a Tamil, I'm really a Christian who happened to be born a Tamil. Okay, my father's a Tamil, my mother's a Sinhalese. I'm such a mixture, you can't recognize me, right? But I have a Tamil name. And that didn't sit very well with the authorities. So I was taken under the affirmative action program. They wanted to show that, oh, we do include some Tamils in the military. They didn't understand that once I came in there, I would come in to do my very best. And so, with the highest aggregate of marks in 11 officer trainee batches, they did not know what to do with me. So they trumped up something and said, okay, we'll make him come second in the batch, not first. Right? I go to, from my basic training, and I go into the academy, and we are in the academy, and there is this initiation that's going on. They call it ragging in Sri Lanka. I don't know whether they call it ragging here. But it got so bad that 50% of our batch went into hospital. Out of 22 officer trainees, 11 were in hospital with various problems. One guy had a spine problem. The others had got relapses of hepatitis A. It was a really bad situation, and so headquarters initiated an inquiry. I didn't complain. Headquarters in Colombo initiated an inquiry, asking what happened. Now, I was called before the commanding officer, and I was asked to tell the truth. We want you to tell the truth. So, what does Naresh do? Oh, but culturally we don't do that. It's not the culture of the military to tell the hierarchy that you are getting initiated. And very honestly, I didn't. I waited till they asked me. I didn't complain. Now I had a choice. The choice was tell the truth and suffer the consequences, or tell a lie and look good with your batchmates. And I told the truth. Needless to say, the persecution that began after that was so horrendous, I had to pull out. I left what I loved the most in my life. I'm a soldier by nature. I come from a long line, my mother's side, military family. My cousin today is the head of the armed forces in Sri Lanka. And I had to walk away and leave because I had to choose between the culture of the armed services and the culture that God expected me to live in. In that culture, you can't lie. In this culture, you lie to save yourself. There's going to be some prices you're going to pay for Jesus' sake. Because in your culture, I think you have the tall poppy syndrome here. I'm an Australian too, so I can speak very freely. If you are a Christian, you're going to have to make choices between the Aussie culture and Christ culture. You're going to have to make choices between the Indian culture you came from and Christ culture. The Sri Lankan culture you came from and Christ culture. Because remember this, God had to take Abraham out of his culture. Put him into a different place. And create a new nation out of him. Because it's out of him that the nation of Israel came, right? It's out of the Abrahamic covenant that Moses came and the Sinai covenant came and the law came. Some of us don't realize what God is really doing with us. We want to hold on to our cultural baggage. You know, we come to Australia with a bag, and in that bag we have our cultural folkways and mores and all these other things. No. You're God's child. Carry Christ in your heart. Carry the Christian culture in you. Begin to show the world that you are different, that you belong to God. You see, Abraham still had a little bit, because when he went to Egypt, he said, told Sarah, don't tell them you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. And guess what? Got himself into loads of trouble. When you become a Christian, you can't stand on both sides. You see, these are diverging paths. As you keep standing on both sides, your legs are going to get stretched and eventually you're going to tear in the middle. You can't live that way. Cross over, brothers and sisters. I urge you. Cross over into the culture of God. Begin to cultivate godly culture, godly traits in your home, godly traits in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. So, we talked about family. We talked about culture. Let's talk about nation. If all these things hadn't happened to me, my batchmates today are 2-star generals, huh? So Air Commodore, Air Vice Marshal rank. So my batchmates today are Air Vice Marshal rank. If I had stayed in that nation, I would have been, if I was alive of course, I would have been a 2-star general. But that was not God's plan. Because God said, now I've taken you out of your family, I've taken you out of your culture, I'm going to take you to a new nation. And so God took me to America, and 5 years later brought me from America to Australia, and 8 years later took me from Australia back to America. My two daughters are born here. My son was born in America, and we made a decision, my wife and I. We're going to cut ourselves off. Our children were named after names in the Bible. Because we wanted them to be separated from the cultural baggage that we carried. So Esther, Hannah and David are living for God, and they are learning about God in our home, and they are growing in Christ. There will come a time when they have to make a decision for them also to choose God's family, to choose God's culture, and to choose God's nation. People of God, we hear a lot about materialistic Christianity. We hear a lot about, you know, you give to get. We hear a lot about you serve God and you become a millionaire. By the way, when you come to Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Very often that's not the case. When you come to Jesus, you're going to pay a price. When you come to Jesus, there are some things that you're going to have to leave in the land of darkness as you journey towards this marvelous light. There are things we are going to have to shed. We call this in theology the process of sanctification. Sanctified, cleaned out. If it happened with Abraham, it's going to happen with all of us. Remember when Jesus came to Peter, Peter looked at him. He said, he told Peter, may I use your boat, please? Peter said, yes, okay, we have, you know, use the boat. And then Jesus said, by the way, thank you very much for letting me use your boat. I'm paraphrasing here. Why don't you cast your net on the right side? So, Peter said, you know, Master, we have fishermen for years, you know. I mean, we fishing this place every day. You just come here, you borrowed my boat. But nevertheless, based on what you have said, we will cast the net. And they did the most unnatural thing possible. And guess what? There was a horde of fish in the net. And Peter looks at him and says, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I am in the presence of Almighty God and I can't handle it." And Jesus, what does he say? "Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men, a career change. I surrender all." You willing to give up your career for him? "I surrender all." You willing to give up your culture for him? "I surrender all." You willing to give up your family for him? "I surrender all." You willing to give up your nation for him? That's the question Jesus has for you today. Where are you walking? Because until you are willing to turn your back on everything you know in the natural and walk towards the spiritual, it's very hard for God to use you to the fullest extent. My wife always tells me, we go on holiday, you go seeing everybody. You go visiting. "You see, I must be about my father's business, man. You know, I come here to see my dad, this is the third message I'm preaching." Why? Because you see, the love of God constrains me. Does it constrain you? Please, I urge you with all of my heart, walk close to God. Be with him. One more passage I want to read. Matthew chapter 10, 32 to 39. Pastor, how am I doing for time? Am I okay? Okay. Matthew 10. And Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now here's the interesting part, right? "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth." Oh my goodness, this is Prince of Peace speaking. "I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." So you see, there is this essence of exclusivity with Jesus. It's all of him or none of him. I know it's not the usual sermon that you may have liked to hear. But today God is calling his people to belong to him exclusively. God didn't bring us to Australia and to America to own a house and a car and two cars and whatever. God could have given us that anywhere. You see, people of God, that which we count as very, very, very valuable, gold. Talk to us, Easterners, Indians, Sri Lankans, that's what we invest in, huh? Gold, he uses as pavement. Streets of heaven are paved with gold. God considers it pavement because to God that's not precious. What is precious is the one who walks on it. You see? So, God didn't bring us to these nations to just fill our pockets with all the goodies. Good job, good car, good house, good garage, electric garage, you open it, automatically opens. You press you take your smartphone app and you press, and before you go home, it's warm because, you know, through your phone you can control. All that is very good, but that's not why God brought us here. God brought us to be salt and light in His kingdom. We have to affect God's kingdom positively. And for that, we have got to turn aside and go the journey from darkness into His marvelous light. Be transformed. Be translated. Be transported. Be changed. So, I hope and pray this morning that your mind and your heart has heard what the Spirit wants you to hear. Why has God brought us to such a place as this? Why are we here on a Sunday? What are we doing? We need to get busy about our Father's business. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. So I leave this short message with you. Pastor, I am within time and I'm going to hand this over to you. God bless you. It is my privilege and honor. I'm deeply humbled to be able to share this with so many nations represented. I don't see it in the natural, brother. I see nations represented here. I'm speaking to nations today. Walk with God. Commit yourself to Him. Live for Jesus. He will give you the world. Why? Because you're doing His bidding. All of God's promises are conditional. Are conditional. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Naresh. A great, encouraging word, wasn't it? Let's pray and ask God that this word will dwell deeply within us and bear the fruit He so desires in each one of our lives. Amen. Father, we thank You for the precious word that was shared this morning through our brother Naresh. We pray, Lord, each one of us would take this word seriously and let it work in us the work that You desire, Father. We thank You. Help us, Lord, to retain it, to remember it, and even to Lord, go onto our website and listen to it frequently, that it may not be lost. Holy Spirit, we give You full permission, Lord, to this word we've heard, let it birth within us a new desire, a new hunger, a new love for You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.